I have the joy today and the responsibility today to introduce a new series on small groups. In a sense, we've almost looked at a small group. It's not a small group, but it's a big group, isn't it? Yes. I know there's a lot of you people here who are part of a small group. The series is a short series. It's only 4 weeks long. So you've got to come the next few days, the next few weeks. Ross has chosen for us, he's selected for us a few passages of Scripture that help us on the important aspects of the purpose, the function, the benefits and the involvement in a small group. I'm almost tempted to get you to put your hand up if you're part of a small group, but I didn't want to embarrass anybody, so I'm not going to do that at the moment. So you're getting away with that. The idea of having a small group of people meeting weekly has become very popular in many churches today. It's not always been that way, though. Some of you here might remember the leaders in the church where I grew up considered that we should all meet together on a Wednesday night here at the church for Bible study and prayer. They felt that meeting together in small groups was divisive and that we needed to all meet together to encourage unity in the church. Interesting thinking, eh? Not going to develop that anymore today. But it just shows you how life changes and how the emphasis in church changes and the reasons we're together will become evident. Today here at Fairfield Baptist Church, we have 100 people around about in church membership. We have somewhere about 9 small groups. How about that? He thinks I've gone too high, and I'll tell him why in a minute. Yeah. There's about 60, 65 people involved in small groups, so that's about 65% of this church are involved in some sort of a small group. Most of our small groups have a strong emphasis on Bible study, a strong emphasis on prayer, and a strong emphasis on friendship and fellowship together with each other. Anything missed? There's a few heads down here nodding at me, which is good. They often study a book based on a book of the Bible or based on a subject in the Bible. They're based on what we talk about Sunday morning sometimes. And Karen's very kind and she sends out some notes after Sunday morning, based on Sunday morning. And I know some of our small groups are using the questions and the notes put together as their basis for their small group. Encouragement of each other and the practical, personal outworking of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in life is an important emphasis for each one of us. Let me just say that again. The encouragement of each other and the practical, personal outworking of the indwelling Holy Spirit in the life is an important emphasis for each of us. These groups, they meet during the evening, sometimes in homes, sometimes here in the church. Sometimes they meet during the day, again, sometimes at home, sometimes here in the church. Sometimes, most of the time, it's a group where men and ladies meet together, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes the ladies just meet together for a ladies' Bible study during the day. You know, some of our small groups even meet around things like coffee, things like food. How about that? A basis for your small group. You know, Fairfield Baptist Church has even gone so far as to appoint a deacon who is responsible and to set aside his responsibility to encourage us in the area of small groups. In case you don't know his name is Derek Greenfield. And in case you don't know his face, he's coming here to join me right now. I said to Derek, he didn't need to be embarrassed about coming up here. that he didn't have to say anything or do anything, but I just wanted you guys to see him. Because it's all very well for me to stand up and say, go and talk to Derek. But if you don't know who Derek is, how do you do that? So take a good look at him. Find him at morning tea time and have a chat to him. Is that enough?
That's lovely.
Great. Thank you, Derek. Yeah. He's got some information about home groups and that up on the pillar in the middle of the cafeteria area there. You can have a look at that pillar. Have a look at some of those home groups. I just encourage you today, if you're not in a home group, you're not in a small group, you're not in a, what's another word we could use? There's so many different names for them, isn't there? Talk to somebody. Talk to Derek, talk to Ross, talk to one of the elders. Talk to anybody. Just go up to somebody and say, I really feel maybe I should be considering a home group. Ask them to pray with you. Wow. The overall idea of the series of these messages is to encourage you to join a small group or even to start a small group. Maybe that's where you're at and it's where it needs to happen. Our leadership vision is that we might see an even greater number of members of our church here involved in a small group. We'll put our reading up on the screen now. The New Testament epistles comprise 21 of the 27 books in the New Testament. 13 of them were penned by the Apostle Paul, usually to a specific church, sometimes to individual people. The letter to the church at Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, was a highly doctrinal letter, or a highly doctrinal treatise, some people call it. He also had some letters to the epistles of the epistles that were very personal letters sent to individual people. Paul was writing to the church at Rome and he said some very, very clear instructions as to how we should get on together. Let me say that again. Paul, in writing to the book at Rome, gave us some very, very clear instructions as to how we should get on together. While writing in the New Testament doesn't specifically talk about small groups, some people would say, they certainly give us many encouragements as to how we should get on together and some very, 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 very applicable encouragements for us as we meet together in a small group. How do we get on in small groups? Read the Bible. That's one thing. Wow. Paul presents us in what we're just about to read, some characteristics under several categories, and we're going to look at them very, very quickly today because we're not here for a long time. Personal duties, family duties, duties to others are the three categories we're going to use as we read through these verses now. Personal duties. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, and cling to what is good. That's just verse number 9 of our reading this morning. That's our personal responsibility. It's your responsibility to look at this and think, how are you getting on? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Then we've got a series of just 3 or 4 verses talking about family duties. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. After our personal duties and our family duties, we come to duties to others. This is duties to people who are not Christians. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with each other. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Just to put your mind at rest for a moment, because I know time's running away with it, I'm not going to go through every one of these statements now. I've chosen just a few to look at. We'll go in our minds back to that first statement for a moment. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Can we just go back to go to the next slide, sorry. Yeah, love must be sincere. We'll remain on this slide for a moment or two. I just love this statement. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, and cling to what is good. You know, I'm so glad that the Bible is very clear in two regards. It's very clear in what love really is. And it's also very clear how important a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives love really is. Love is an important part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I asked Faye, what's love? How do we know what love is? Where do you think she took me? She took me to the love chapter. It's a famous chapter, isn't it? It's a chapter. Come on, tell me where it is. 1 Corinthians 13. That's where she took me, as if I didn't know. You know. Wow. I want you to listen to me while I read a part of this chapter this morning. The words are not going to come up on the screen. And what I want you to do is to close your eyes while I read a part of this chapter. I'm not going to speak about it. I'm not going to fill it out. But I want the power of the Word of God to speak to your heart. As you close your eyes and I read, you ask God to speak to your heart as to whether these verses are real for you. Wow. I want the verses to challenge you as to how you're getting on with your brothers and sisters in Christ here at Fairfield Baptist Church. I know this has been a bit of a challenge for some people this week, this month, because I'm part of Fairfield Baptist Church, so I can say that confidently, can't I? This has been a bit of a challenge. My prayer is that the Spirit of God might take the Word of God and speak to each of our hearts this morning. I'm actually going to go one step further. I want you all to stand up and close your eyes as I read a few verses to you from this chapter. And as you stand and close your eyes, if it's a real big challenge, remain seated. I'm not forcing everybody. You can hold on to the seat in front of you. If you're in the front row, you'll have to hold hands to each other or something like that. I want you to just close your eyes and just think of these verses as I speak to them. I'm not going to elaborate on them. I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a few verses. If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and I give over my body to hardship that I might boast, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Think about your heart. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easy angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we must know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put all the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection in the mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now we know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Thank you, everyone. Please be seated. Corrie ten Boom was a wonderful Dutch woman who, along with her family, hid Jews in their home to help them escape the Nazis in World War II. She was eventually caught, and Corrie and her sister Betsy were sent to a woman's concentration camp where her sister eventually died of starvation. And this was the backdrop that Corrie would write these words, and this is what she said. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you will be at rest. Let me say that again. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. Think of our world, the way we are today. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look to God, you'll be at rest. Wow. The second thing I'm so thankful for in the Bible is the very clear that love is an important part of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. When Paul wrote to the church in Galatians, he said these words, But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. If you have a good memory, I'll give you another reference you can look up when you get home. If you're writing down a note, just put down 1 John. He's another man in the New Testament who loved the theme of love. Chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, and then chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Or the easy way is just remember 1 John chapters 4 and 5. Go home and read them this afternoon. You see, here in Fairfield Baptist Church, we're just a big family. And the next 4 verses, Paul speaks very, very clearly on how we as a family must get on together. Family duties. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Wow. I think we could spend a month of Sundays on this, couldn't we? Hey? Imagine if we did that, just those 4 verses. Wonderful way to think of how we should get on in a small group of people. You know, in just 4 verses, we were given 10 statements, 10 duties, encouraging us how we should live together, how we should be together. I've decided this morning we can't go through 10 statements. Otherwise, Ross will be pushing me out the door. That'd be no good, wouldn't it? But we've highlighted, you can see them, I think you can see them up there. I've highlighted three things we're going to think of very briefly this morning. Honor one another above yourselves. Wow. Honor one another above yourselves. Do you know who the most important person is in a small group? Think of your small group if you're involved in a small group. Who's the most important person in the group? Jesus, I heard somebody say, very good. I didn't have that on my page. I should have done, shouldn't I? What I had on the page was this. It's not you. It's not you. It's everybody else is more important than you. Honor one another above yourselves. We need to come to a small group with the attitude that everyone else is more important than I am. Young people, that's how you come to youth group. Everyone else is more important than I am. Older people, doesn't matter what group we're involved in, everyone else is more important than I am. We can't move around with an attitude that everything has got to be done my way. Why did you say that, Neville? Why are you laughing? I've resisted the temptation of putting some names down here. I know better than anybody else the way things should be happening. I know how things should be done. You ever have that attitude? Oh dear. Leave that there. Be honor one another above yourselves. Be joyful in hope. Do you remember the summary statement from a couple of weeks ago when we were doing Easter Sunday? And part of my summary statement at the end of Easter Sunday was, we have a great hope. Anybody was here? Oh, somebody was here, yeah. And here we are again, we're at it again. Be joyful in hope. You know, we have eternal life, we have power, we have a home in heaven, we have a reward in heaven. Jesus is coming back again, and we need to talk to him about coming again when we meet together as a small group of people. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The final statement I've got here underlined, and I'd love to be able to develop the others at some other stage perhaps, but be faithful in prayer. And I think prayer is a significant part of most, if not all, of our small groups. Prayer, important part? 100% says Ross. Anybody else like to add to that? Be faithful in prayer doesn't mean you only pray in small groups. Being faithful in prayer means that you pray and you pray. And you pray, no matter where you are. It's a matter of who you are. It's a matter of who we are. We're a people who pray and pray and pray. Amen. Doesn't matter where you are. I'm trying to get into the habit of when anybody visits me at home, I don't let them out the door until I've prayed with them. I used to do it, and then I got out of the way of doing, got out of the habit somehow. Maybe you can join that habit. Let me remind you very briefly, very quickly, you can help me, of the prayer times we do have here at Fairfield Baptist Church. Small groups, I put at the top of the list, because I believe prayer is an important part of every small group that gets together. I've only got a question mark as to whether those who gather for coffee and for food include prayer. That's a good way of thinking about that, isn't it, hey? What about Sunday morning before church? Over here, there's a lovely little room. We gather for prayer. I'm not sure who was there this morning. My apologies, I didn't get there. 9 a.m. here in the Oasis room. What about Sunday morning during church? We've had some people have prayed, and I'm going to give you a moment to pray in just a few minutes. We've had people give a lovely little prayer in the middle of our church service. What about Sunday morning after church, anywhere around FBC? We often at the end, and we'll do it today, invite people to come to the front if they want somebody to specifically pray for them. Over the last few weeks, I've got to say, I've had people pray with me here at the front of the church. I've had people pray with me at the back of the church. I've had people pray for me in the cafeteria. And I even had somebody come and pray for me when I was sitting in the car, not looking quite as happy as I should have been. That's what we've got to do. We've got to take any opportunity to pray with each other and keep doing it. What about Monday evening, 7 p.m.? Right here in the Oasis room. Again, I won't embarrass you by putting your hands up. I know there's only a small group. Let's grow that group. Monday, 7 p.m., Oasis room. Tuesday morning, right here in church, we have it 9:15. Is that the right time? 9:15 on Tuesday. So if you're dropping kids off at school, you've got time to come here and be here. And it's good because it's just before coffee time and hot scones. Who makes the hot scones? You've got to come. We pray and then we have it. Amazing. A little word of illustration. 10 years ago, we lived as a family. It's our family. It was Mum and Dad, Faye and I, our daughter and her husband, and 2.5 boys. 2.5 boys. That was actually correct, yes. They now have 4, but that's okay. At that stage, we all lived in one house, 3 generations in one house. Our daughter loves painting. And I had forgotten until I started putting these thoughts together that she painted a painting about this tall, about this wide. And it had Romans 12, verses 10 to 12 painted on it. A black background and then very bold words in a bright yellow. And that hung on the wall in our house. And we lived as an extended family, 3 generations all together, with these verses on the wall for us to look at and us to live by every day. I had a good look around to try and work out where it was so I could bring it and show it to you. But unfortunately, when we had the bad house fire a few years ago, it disappeared along. But the verses are still here. That's why I say that. We get the odd photograph. We didn't. I thought we had a photograph of it and I was going to give it to Jerry to put up, but it didn't quite work out. Our duties to others is what we're going to look at very quickly as we finish. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Wow. We've been through the personal duties. We've talked about family duties. We're now looking at these duties to people who are not, well, people who are, I love the phrase, I think Ross uses it sometimes, yet to be Christians. I love that little phrase. You remember I said that we had 4 verses and Paul had 10 little instructions for us? And now he's going to further 7 verses, a further 3 verses with 7 duties that we're going to have. I've just got one underlined up there and that's where we're concluding with today. Live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another. This is where we are instructed to live with an attitude of wanting to get on with people, regardless as to whether they are believers in Christ or not. We all have neighbours, we all have people who live next door. And the society that we live in, the chances are that some of them will not be Christians. We've got people who live next door. We've got one lady here. She, first time she met us, she lives right, we can see her out the front window, her house. She introduced herself, I'm the nosy neighbour. And she is, and she keeps track of everything. Great for security, I tell you. We have some people who live over the back fence and they love to play music till the wee hours of the morning, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, kaboom, 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 kaboom. We can't hear the melody. All we can hear is the boomf and the boomf. Oh, dear. And then 2 or 3 houses down the road, out the front, there's a family there. They love loud cars. They have several of them. What am I doing? Do I pray for my non-Christian next-door neighbours? Not just to turn the volume down, but... Wow. You see, I believe being part of a small group of Christians together is a great place to be encouraged and to be challenged to live in harmony with all people. And we pray for each other in a small group. And maybe there is a neighbor sometimes we need to say to the small group, would you pray for my neighbor? That's driving me mad. Or whatever it is. Wow. Everybody knows that I love to finish what I'm saying with one word. Can anybody tell me what it's? Huh?
Love.
Oh, better put love up. Wow. Remember, if you would like to join into a small group, have a chat to Derek. He was sitting here. Did he run away? Oh, there he is. He's in the middle. That's where he usually sits, somewhere down in the middle. Derek's going to be out there at morning tea time. Do have a chat to him. But don't have to go to Derek. You can talk to Ross. You can talk to anyone of the elders. You can talk to anybody. Just talk to somebody. But don't go home thinking, oh, maybe it's something I should do. Come and have a talk about it. Yeah.